Okay. Sunday morning, 11/7/21. This is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. We're going to do part two. This is Overcomers part two. Now I'm going to read the foundational scriptures first. I want y'all to know these backwards and forwards. Okay, Matthew 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. All right, now Matthew chapter 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And again I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know what the rock is? Jesus, the foundation stone. He's the one that doctrine's laid down on. That's what makes the church strong. Ephesians chapter 2. Not Peter the Pope. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. All right, Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried along with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. One more, Psalms 133. We're supposed to be a body moving as one, not fragmented. Beloved, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. All right, we'll begin to look last week at the things we do for the Lord. The Spirit-led things we do for the Lord. They're not the vain things that come, you know, but they come with a reward. We are guaranteed when we follow the Lord and what He requires of us, we receive a reward. In view of all the heavy warfare this week, I wanted to continue with this so you could be encouraged today that there is a reward waiting for you at the end of all of this. All right, Matthew 7. This is the Amplified. You don't need to turn there. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction. And many are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it." Yeah. There are many appearing to toe the line today, but they are imposters. This is what Jesus was talking about. We are seeing today many ministers that we thought were doing the Lord's work and have been up front and center are now being shown to be charlatans. They're deep state. Wolves in sheep's clothing. These are those plants of the enemy, the tares among the wheat that God is in the process of exposing and ripping up and putting them in piles to be burned. Never feel bad because you did it right, because there is reward at the end of all of this. I have a prophecy given to me in 1999 that basically says, you will be so glad that you stayed with it and that you let me deal with you. Why? If I hadn't, the Lord would not have been able to show me the things I've shared with you this past few years to get us ready for what is ahead. Just think of Joseph. He dreamed a couple of dreams of his final destination, but there was a whole lot of in-between before he saw that manifest. God showed him the end from the beginning. He does that. It gives you something to look forward to hold on to. Brother Hagin used to call it tough sledding. He said when I'd get a prophecy about something, it meant there was tough sledding ahead. In January 1999, the Lord showed me the end from the beginning, but here nearly 23 years later, I'm still going through the in-between time. Okay, with that, we're going to turn to Genesis 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan, verse 1. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. I heard someone say this and I'd never heard anything like this. And I thought, well, it's probably right that his coat of many colors were the colors on the ephod, the stones on the ephod of the priest, all the different colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. See, God's showing him what he's going to do in the land of Egypt. He, in essence, if you read the book of Jasher, he, in essence, did more than Pharaoh. Had his own palace, his own setup. I mean, highly esteemed. Everyone bowed down to Joseph. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it is well with thy brethren and well with thy flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him. Cast him into some pit. We will say some evil beast had devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Ever been made fun of because of what God's called you to do? Everybody and their dog poo-poos everything about you, and God says, I say you are, regardless of what they think. And Reuben heard it. He delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands and deliver them to his father again. It came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Now, if you read in the book of Jasher, it talks in detail about what they really did to him. They put him in a pit that was full of snakes. And it said that the Lord caused the snakes to shrink back into the pit, and it didn't harm him. But he screamed, and he cried, and he begged for hours for them to take him out of the pit. I mean, it was really pitiful. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if they slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. And for what I understand, also, the account in Jasher, that when they sold him, these Ishmaelites started having angels attacking them and things happening to them, so they sold him to somebody else. They kept selling him to different ones because God's hand was upon him, and anybody who put their hand against him, you know, all this stuff started happening to him. All right, they did it, 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? Now I want you to understand here. God is with Joseph. God has said, your brethren are going to bow down to you. You're going to have a high position. So what happened? God started his training. And I'm sure he thought God had forsaken him on many accounts, but I thought it was a good scenario for what we're going through. They took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the goat in the blood. And they went, sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. See, he's separated from his family. And he knew it and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Joseph rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I will go down into the grave and to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. To think about it, he was treated like a slave. He's probably naked. I'm surprised that they didn't castrate him, because that's what they did, you know, to Daniel. In 15 years old, being exiled to Babylon, they castrated him. Could never have children. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned to a certain, well, I don't know why, I don't want to read that part. Go to 39. We're not going to read 38. All right. And Joseph is brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man who was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. It came to pass from the time that he had made his overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. As far as I'm concerned, the places that the Lord had y'all working, they were blessed because of you, because you were there. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Now this wasn't just a few little times. This was a day and night pressure put on this young man, like torment. And from what I understand, you know, he was accused of something he didn't do, put in prison for it. And he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" See, God is developing godly character for the high position that he will stand in. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left her garment in her hand and fled and got him out. It came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. She laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to their word, these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." It came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did this servant to me," that his wrath was kindled. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. He was there in the prison. And the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So I can just imagine. Let me get a drink here. We'll continue on. I want to encourage you today, whatever you're going through, God sees it. God is overseeing it. And he has got his own reasons. But there's a reward at the end of all of this. It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. He put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. Now, I want you to think about something right quick. There's a good possibility that a lot of people that are in the church and in the world are going to die. We don't know anything for certain, but there's a good possibility. And God is raising up new leaders. And you'll probably look back in a time and say, I realized why it had to be the way it was. I realized why it had to be so hard. This has never been his mission here. It was never about him being a failure. It was never about him just being a victim of circumstance. But it was about God pulling him aside to personally train him for greatness. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? You know, everybody that was around Joseph knew there was something special about him, except his family. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. The chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in thy dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded. And her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen out away of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head, and the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. It came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Sound familiar? And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Behold, there came out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat flesh, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean flesh, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept, and dreamed the 2nd time. Behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears had blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant, and put me in ward, and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker, we dreamed a dream in 1 night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there a Hebrew with us, a young man, or there was with, and there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. Behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. When they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as the beginning. So I woke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good, and behold, seven ears, withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears, and I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years. The seven good ears are 7 years, and the dream is one. And the seven thin, ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is a thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in all the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. For that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those years, good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in all the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, or as this man? Is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, that's checking privileges, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vesture of fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh called Joseph's name Shaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Okay, why did it have to be this way? Now Joseph understands, but he didn't understand in the midst of it when he said, you know, I haven't done anything wrong. Put in a good word to the Pharaoh, would you please, to get me out of this awful place? Why did he allow him to go that route? Only God knows. When I'm going through my hardest, I have to look and say, I know God knows what he's doing. I trust him with what he's doing within my life. Why he's allowed these things to come. Things that aren't like normal things, that they'll come and go, but something that it just doesn't seem to matter what I do. You know what I'm saying? All right. Right here, this is Genesis 45:5. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Then Genesis 50:18. See, in his dream, his father and brothers bowed the knee to him. This is 50:18. And his brethren went up, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." See, that's, it was a fulfillment of the dreams that he had. God did it. All right, verses 50:15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. So he had to go through this training so that he would treat them. See, his character had to be formed for the place of the God exalted him. He's not going to just turn a person loose. It's not just about having a dream and stepping up somewhere. It's about the godly training that goes with it. I encourage you today to hold on to your dreams, just like Joseph did in his time of imprisonment and training. It came to pass just as God said to him, but it was because he stuck with it and did not compromise along the way. Paul made this statement. One more scripture here. 2 Timothy 4. Paul said this, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." This is the ultimate goal for the overcomer. And there's a reward for the overcomer. I'm going to read you the rewards of overcoming right quick. We'll be done. This is Ephesus. "To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Smyrna. "He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Pergamos. "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat." Thyatira. "He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations." Sardis. "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life." Philadelphia. "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." And Laodicea. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne."